We read this day from Matthew's Gospel. This is Matthew, it's in chapter 8. We're going to read 14 through 17. So Matthew 8, 14 through 17. Jesus went to Peter's home, and there he saw Peter's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on him. When evening came, people brought to Jesus many who had demons in them. Jesus drove out the evil spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick. He did this to make come true what the prophet Isaiah had said. He himself took our sickness and carried away our diseases. This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, this morning as we hear of the touch of Jesus, may we know him more. May we live for him more. So if you would guide us and instruct us and empower us through what is said this morning, we would be so very grateful. Amen. Hands are amazing things. I've got a friend, his name is Bruce, he's a dairy farmer. He had a chance a number of years ago to go to Russia as part of the Department of Agriculture. He was going with a group of folks. They would make some presentations to some farmers in and around Moscow. And Bruce was there, and there were talks, and there were slideshows and things like that. And then during one of the breaks, several of the farmers who were there, Bruce told me you could see them real easy because everybody else was wearing a suit coat and a tie, but they were not. And they came up to him and said, "Well, we like what you say, but can we see your hands?" And Bruce held out his hands. And they just went, "Ah, now we believe." You see, Bruce's hands are not like mine. They have calluses. They've got some scars. Part of one finger is missing. You see, Bruce not only owned the farm and supervised the workers, but he worked right alongside them. And when the others that were there realized that not only could this man do the things he was saying, but he knew what he was talking about, and so they accepted what he said. Hands are so interesting. I was watching the Cubs and the Dodgers playing last night. I'm suddenly a Cubs fan for the first time in my life. And you know, when I was a little kid and I was trying to learn how to play baseball, and that didn't work too good, folks, sorry to tell you. But they always told you, when it was coming down, you got your glove up, you used two hands, you looked the ball right into the glove, and you got it. I'm watching these baseball guys. They might just as well be looking over there at the hot dog stand because their hand knows where that ball is. With one hand, they make catches all the time. They have just developed that to the point where it just works. We do lots with our hands. We work, of course, with our hands. We get someone's attention with our hands. Ever have to raise your hand in class? We show emotion with your hands. Just cut somebody off on Highway 41. They'll show you emotion with their hands. We show enthusiasm with our hands. I was at the Hortonville football game 2 weeks ago, I think it is now, and whenever something went really well, everybody was up and cheering. We also show our sorrow, partly with our hands. We can show anger with our hands too. But you know something? The best thing that we do with our hands, we can show people how we love them. Our own family and the people that we know, loving them with the love of Christ. Just the other day, I was stopped at a stop sign. It was right by our grade school. And there was a dad and a little guy. And they were going to cross the street. And dad reached down, and the little guy took his hand. And as they walked across the street in front of me, I realized, you know what those hands holding each other are? Security. That little boy knew he was safe and secure in his dad's hand, and the dad, understanding the danger of drivers on the street, he was secure in knowing that he had his little boy right with him. And I might be a little more mature, but I can still remember the first time I walked a girl home from school and carried her books in one arm, and I got to hold hands with her with the other. I have privilege as a pastor to see the hands of nervous couples on their wedding day. Do you know those rings that they buy in the stores are much larger in the stores than they are on their wedding day? And then during the ceremony, they hold hands to show that they love each other and to share that image with you and me. And it's a promise that they make to each other that holding hands, that tenderness between them will continue. You see, I've also been to a lot of care facilities. And I've seen a man or a woman there in their room, and then their loved ones show up. And the first thing they always do is they always go over and take the hand of the one who is there. What a marvelous things our hands are. Well, Jesus used his hands too. I get so excited sometimes when I think about Jesus had a real body when he walked this earth. It was the same kind of body that you and I have. So when I think about Jesus and him touching somebody for whatever, you and I know exactly how he felt in that moment because we touch people all the time. We read in the scripture this morning, it was a day when Jesus went to Peter's house. I imagine he had some friends with him. Peter lived in Capernaum. He lived there with his wife, his mother-in-law, and his brother Andrew. Most likely, Jesus and the other disciples, when they traveled through Capernaum, probably stayed at that house. But on this day, there was trouble at the house. When Jesus got there, he found out that Peter's mother-in-law was in bed, down in bed, with a fever. And if you look up in the Greek, what that word right there in that particular passage means, it means fire. It's that kind of a fever. And if we weren't sure exactly what that meant, Dr. Luke was there. You know him, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's that guy. And he's a doctor. He would know how bad a fever it was. And in his gospel, he said it's a high fever. So, I'm the typical male. When I get ill, the whole world is crashing down around me. We're teased as men about that. Perhaps it's true. I don't know. I just know how crummy I feel. So I thought about the last time when I had a fever. I happened to have the flu. I'm getting a flu shot tomorrow, by the way, just trying to stave that off this year. And I was down and out on the couch, And I'd sleep a little bit, but I had the weirdest dreams. It was as bad as the nights when you have the pineapple and Canadian bacon pizza for supper. They are just weird dreams, and I couldn't get up from there. Tylenol was one of my friends during that time. Jesus, when he got to the house, he goes to the mother-in-law's bedside, and in a much better way than Tylenol, he touched her hand. When the story got out about all of this, that rang alarm bells all over the Jewish community, because it was an incredibly radical thing for Jesus to do. You see, Jesus is a rabbi. He's a teacher. And Jewish law, Jewish rules say, if you're going to be a rabbi, you can touch no other woman other than your wife. Jesus was a radical guy. And then, oh my goodness, she was sick. And if you're Jewish, you don't touch a sick person ever, let alone if you're a rabbi. And Jesus stood there right next to her bed, and he said, "Fooey with these silly rules and these goofy laws. Here is a person, she is in need. I have what it takes to be able to heal her, and that's exactly what I plan on doing." There is not a single person in this room who is not worthy of the love and compassion of Jesus the Christ. Why? Because we're God's creation. As a matter of fact, there is not a person you know anywhere that is not worthy of Christ's love and compassion. Oh, we have this silly temptation. It's part of being human. It's part of being in a fallen world where we think that some people are not worthy of Christ's love because of the things that they have done or the things that they have said, or maybe it's because they haven't done some things and they haven't said some things, and we're tempted to believe that they are beyond the reach of Jesus Christ. But we would be wrong. God's touch of redemption and grace and healing is so vast. It's so amazing. Quite honestly, it's beyond our ability to totally comprehend it. We understand it and we believe it by faith and faith alone. And so Jesus touched the woman's hand and she was healed in less than a blink of an eye. But in healing her, not only did he show that he has power over disease, he showed that he has authority and power over the rules of religion. He has authority over the Pharisees in those days because he is the Son of God. There are still some Pharisees around today, and yet Jesus has authority over them also. This touch of Christ's hand brought instant and complete healing. And how do we know that? Well, it wasn't perfectly clear in this particular translation of the Bible, but in others it explains more. When she was healed, she got up and she served everybody lunch. She made a lunch for them. Now, I know that many of you have prepared something for the potluck today. And I would ask you, if you were down in bed with a fever, and then it went away, would the first thing you would think of is, I should get some people together and feed them lunch? Probably not. But that's how complete a touch from Christ is. Oh, you see, that's one of the exciting things about knowing Jesus, about hanging around with Jesus as best we can. He is not bound by any human restrictions. He doesn't need a pharmacy or a physician, for he is the great physician. He can just take care of things. Now, breaking with more tradition, if you were Jewish, this happened on a Saturday. Saturday is Sabbath, sundown Friday night until sundown on Saturday night. And there was no work to be done. You weren't supposed to carry anything. You weren't supposed to be traveling even. Half a mile is as far as you could walk during Sabbath for whatever reason. But Jesus healed in the midst of that. And the news got out. Jesus was there, he was with them, and he came in power to heal people, the ones who were ill. And so the folks waited, because they had to wait for sundown. But as soon as they could, they started bringing people to Jesus, sick people to Jesus. When one of you or I get sick, and it's sick to the point where we need to be taken someplace, we take people in our cars, mostly to the hospital. Sometimes it's an ambulance in our modern day. Sometimes it's even in a helicopter. But there's one thing for certain: when someone that we care for is ill or injured, we get them there, to where they can be healed. Everything else in our life stops, rightly so. So these folks from Capernaum, Jesus was there, and they brought people to him after sundown. The word brought, by the way, in the Greek means continually. So this was a parade. Can you imagine with me the dusty streets of Capernaum? And then there was this processional leading over to Peter's house, and it was people carrying others, because in those days we didn't have anything like we've got now to get people to travel with them to get them healed. So they made stretchers for them. Maybe they just picked up their whole bed and took it. But imagine that. One after another, behind another, behind another, all headed to see Jesus. They wanted to be touched by Jesus because they knew he had healing power. And indeed, he took care of all of those who were ill, but he also took care of another bunch of folks. It's short and doesn't explain a lot about it in the scripture we read for today, but there were those in town who were possessed by demons. They were afflicted by demons, and Jesus, as a matter of fact, didn't even need to touch them. He could drive them out with words. I don't know where you sit on this business of demons, whether they are or they aren't in our day and age. But I do know this. It was true then. It is still true today. The Bible tells us that the Messiah, the Son of God, his name is Jesus, has command over the forces of evil. They respond to his orders. They know who Jesus is. And they know that they must obey whatever it is that he tells them. And when Jesus tells them to be gone, they go. I imagine it was a late night for Jesus. I also bet you that he didn't stop healing. He didn't stop welcoming all those that were being brought to him until everyone had been taken care of. And the reason I know that, it's in verse 16. It says, all were healed. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we live in a time today when the world struggles with all kinds of demons. There's demons of anger, there's demons of lust, there's demons of addiction, and there are demons of thinking, I am worth nothing. And you and I, with the love of Christ, can be helpful in all of that. We all understand praying for God's touch and physical healing. And I know that you pray for those who are ill, those who are injured, and people are healed. Right here in this church, we've seen wonderful examples of that. But do you forget to pray for yourself? Do you forget to ask for God's touch, his healing hand to be upon you? So I'm wondering this morning if anyone here is plagued with the demons of this world. Because if you are, have you asked for prayer? Have you sought out others who will pray with you, who will take you in their prayers to the very feet of Jesus to be touched there with healing? You see, Jesus is ever ready. The touch of his hand and healing is mighty indeed. Thanksgiving is coming. Christmas is coming. We're in a time of the year when it seems like Jesus is just a little bit closer than he is other times during the year. So my friends, will you pray for others who need it? Will you pray for yourselves? Will you allow the Christ to touch you with his wonderful hands? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, how wonderful of you to have sent your Son physically to be here and to touch us when we need it. And now in our time, you have sent yourself in the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit to do the very same. May we remember when we need it, when we're hurting, when it's a challenge in our lives to reach out for the touch of his hand. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.